and Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr, and thanks for being with us tonight. Tonight I have the first of my next 6-week series on early detection prevention. And what I'm trying to do here is to let all of you know what kind of symptoms that you may be having that might be trying to tell you something. Some symptoms that you may not even realize that are symptoms of something that is coming down the road. So tonight I want to introduce you Dr. Amy Yatsko, and we're going to talk about her new book, Feel Good Nutrigenomics, Your Roadmap to Health. But I want to start out saying this one thing. If you have something that your doctor has told you is fibromyalgia, or if you have tingling, or if your doctor says you have MTHFR and he just randomly prescribed you B12 or folate, and now you're having tingling, or now you're having weird muscle pains, or if you have headaches or shoulder aches or feet problems or gut problems, if you're bloating, there's usually more to it than what most doctors are going to tell you. We're not attempting to treat or diagnose you on this show. We're just trying to provide you with information so that you can help yourself get better in the privacy of your home. You got to do your homework, and you have to work with your own personal doctor, though. But at least we'll give you some tools. Welcome, Dr. Amy Yatsko, and thank you for taking the time to come on my show.
Thank you, Eva, for the opportunity. I truly appreciate this chat tonight.
So before we get started, why don't you tell people just a little bit about you know what you do and where they can find you and where they can get copies of this really fabulous book. If you have been diagnosed with some kind of methylation disorder, and that which is what Amy's going to talk about tonight, if you have MTHFR or CBS or any of those other genes, or if you have an autistic child or a child with ADHD, you need to read Amy's new book, Dr. Yatsko's new book. It's really fabulous. It's worth you taking off a day off work to read this book.
Thank you, Eva. The name of the book is Feel Good Nutrigenomics. It's available as an e-book from Amazon as well as from Barnes & Noble. Hard copy of the book is available from holistichealcom, so holistichealcom. And it will also be available in hard copy from Amazon sometime in the next few weeks. And what I've tried to do with the book is to make analogies anyone can understand so that they can comprehend what the methylation pathway is. And so I talk about it in terms of a roadmap and traffic circles in your body, and thinking about it in those terms and navigating those traffic circles and thinking about your body almost like a car that you've been given that literally needs to last your entire life. And so it's not just the shape the car is in when you get it, but also the way you drive it and the way you take care of it that enable you to stay healthy over the course of your life. And so Feel Good Nutrigenomics is an introduction in layman's terms that anyone and their doctor can understand to get a sense of why this pathway is so critical for health in the body and to get started on understanding it, and then you can move forward from that point to look at supplementation to support the pathway.
So can you tell us, not that it's a requirement, but can you tell us why you're an expert here? You studied what?
My background is actually fairly traditional. My undergraduate degree was in chemistry. My doctorate is from Albany Medical College in microbiology, immunology, and infectious diseases. I then did 3 traditional postdoctoral fellowships, 1 in pediatric immunology, 1 in the cancer center at the University of Rochester, and then a third fellowship at Yale Medical Center looking at something called shuttle vectors that move from bacteria to eukaryotic cells. And it was after that that I spent a number of years working in biotechnology and helping to give technical support to biotech companies and companies developing molecular tools. And I realized that a lot of the pathways that were studied and used in molecular biology and biotech could also be addressed by natural supplements in the body, by looking at supplements and herbs and vitamins. And so at that point, I went back in and received additional degrees in education in natural health areas so that I can now look at molecular pathways in the body, but look at ways to supplement them using natural products that are easily consistent with what your body wants and needs.
So exactly, well, let me back up for a minute. Everybody knows there's a new kid in town called methylation, and one of the branches off that is the new kid is MTHFR. Everybody seems to know that today. The problem is, when you go to a doctor, and I've actually had this experience myself, and that's why I'm trying to educate my audience about this. I took my child to a doctor to, you know, talk to a pediatrician here in town, just because we have to have one. And he knew those words, but he said, oh, well, maybe we should check his B12 or his folate. And I'm like, wait a minute, is that all you know about this? And he just kind of started stumbling around. So I want you to tell people, what is methylation? Why do we need concern about it? And is B12 or folate all there is about it? I mean, is that going to fix it, just those two things? You send people a B12 pill and a folate pill?
The most basic analogy that I can give is that, going back to the example of thinking of your body as a car, and you've got one car to last you in life, and along with that car comes a mechanic to make sure that car is running. And some of us have been given pristine cars. That's like running your genetics and finding no mutations. But the way in which you live, the infectious diseases you're exposed to, the toxins in life, all of those affect the way that car runs, just as if, no matter if you had a perfect brand new car that had no rust and no problems, if you don't check the oil and if you drive it until you run out of gas and if you're flooring it all the time on the highway, even the most pristine car is going to have problems. If you're unlucky and you've gotten a car that's old and rotting out and the muffler's falling off and that's what you're left to deal with in life, that's very similar to the mutation patterns that I see for a number of people where they have a lot of imbalances in their body. But you have a mechanic that travels with you in life, and that mechanic is there to help to fix that vehicle and keep it on the road. And methylation is essentially the mechanic that you have in life to help get around the hand of cards you've been dealt genetically. Another way to look at it is methylation is like the editing function on your computer. And if you can only afford to have one computer that's going to last you for the next 20 years, some of the keys are going to stop working properly. If you spill coffee on your keyboard, some of the other ones won't work. Maybe the M key doesn't even push down anymore. But when you type a document, autocorrect, the editing function on your computer, will get around those physical problems with your computer. What's going to enable you to still write and type a document is the editing function on your computer. That's like methylation for your system. If your editing function on your computer ceases to work, or if the mechanic for the car you've been given in life can't function, then all of the other problems become magnified. And that's why one of the keys from a prevention standpoint and a health standpoint is to make sure methylation is functioning in your body, so that your editing function, your mechanic that helps you get around everything else that isn't working in your body, can help you in those ways. Imbalances in this pathway, mutations in this pathway, have been tied together with everything from cardiovascular issues, stroke, cancer risks, neural tube defects, Down syndrome, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, to gray hair and aging. This pathway is so central that if you can just keep it functioning, it sets you up to be in a better position for all the other health decisions that you make. Now, what is methylation? All you're doing is moving a small molecule around that is placed on your DNA. And your DNA is the genetic material that you've inherited. Your DNA will not change. What you've inherited is what you've got for life. But the ability for these methyl groups, these small groups, to move around on your DNA, that can change the way your DNA turns on and turns off. So it can help to enhance or have a detrimental impact on your body's DNA. And so in the analogy I gave earlier, your DNA is like the car you've been given for life. And some of us have a beautiful car without mutations, and some of us have a car that's rotting out from day one with a lot of mutations. But if we can move these methyl groups around and turn on and turn off pieces of our DNA, then it's an extra way, it's a fallback system the body has to help edit. And all a methyl group is carbon and hydrogen. It's CH3. And hydrogen is the same hydrogen in water, and carbon is what's in coal or diamonds. So it's this small little group that the body moves around to turn on and turn off your DNA. And the concept or the field of using methylation to help modify your DNA is something called epigenetics, E-P-I, epigenetics, which means it's sitting above your DNA, your genetics. You're altering the ability of your DNA to turn on and turn off like a light switch simply by moving these methyl groups around. And the pathway nutritionally that I work on and what the book Feel Good Nutrigenomics talks about is how to be sure that your body is generating these methyl groups properly so that it can help the editing function in your body to keep you healthy.
So before we it's 8:15 now, which means we have, 8:15 Eastern time, we have 45 minutes. So I want to talk about some early symptoms, because I know that sudden onsets of certain things, sudden onset of an allergy, for example, or sudden onset of muscle tightness. If you feel like your leg can't completely stretch out, or you get these cramps, or there are lots of sudden onsets of things. But if you could talk about those, so people, and the viruses, how do people know? I mean, they don't go to their doctor and they're about to go, oh, my goodness, you have a viral toxic overload today. Because they don't check that. How does someone know? And I'm going to give you a little bit of a leading question here. Personally, you know me. You're my friend, and you know I have the MTHFR mutation. But I have little white, and I'm going to use a word I found in your book, islands, these little white things on my skin that seem to follow down the nerve path from my neck down my arm to my fingers. Can you tell people things like that they may see on their body that gives them a clue when they're 20 instead of 50 that they might start looking for and fix these things so they don't have to have, you know, a falling apart car when they get 50? Does that make sense?
Yes, and I'll also digress and explain about the B12 and folate because I didn't answer. Well, I wasn't sure if you needed to take a break at any point.
No, we don't have to break.
I can just keep talking.
Before we hang up, I also want you to tell us, you know, what to do about these things. So you've got 45 minutes, and
okay,
talk about whatever you think we need to know.
in terms of warning signs or what lack of proper methylation is related to, I'll list some of those, but I have a Facebook page, Dr. Amy Yosko, and I post articles all the time about methylation. And so the one I posted just the other day was about multiple chemical sensitivity and fibromyalgia and the recent research tying that to problems with epigenetics and methylation. The week before, I posted an article about how methylation, or lack of it, is tied to chronic fatigue syndrome. Last month or so, there were articles that came out that onset of type 2 diabetes is directly related to problems with methylation. In side-by-side studies of identical twins, so they have the identical DNA, the identical genetics, the difference between one of them that has lupus, which is an autoimmune disease, and the other one who does not have lupus is the degree to which their DNA is properly methylated. So proper methylation is related to everything from a propensity for neural tube defects to problems with stroke to schizophrenia to bipolar to fibromyalgia to chronic fatigue syndrome, type 2 diabetes. In the book, I have a chart and the reference for it for a whole host of cancers that are related to problems with methylation. My feeling is that all of us should be properly methylating. There are DNA-based tests that one can run to look at whether or not you have mutations in your methylation cycle, so that if your car is broken in such a way that your mechanic doesn't even exist or can't function, or if your computer is broken in such a way that the editing function doesn't work, if the mutations that you have are mutations in this pathway, then unlike some of these other mutations that you might have, you're broken in the pathway that you need to bypass issues with everything else. And so as you bring up, Eva, you have two copies of a mutation in MTHFR, your MTHFR C677T++, which means both copies are compromised. And even if you have mutations like that, it doesn't mean that this methylation pathway that your mechanic in the body isn't functioning at all, but it's functioning at a reduced level. And so ideally, it would be great if everyone could run a test at birth or at any point in your life to see where you have mutations in your methylation cycle so that you can look at bypassing those mutations nutritionally so that your mechanic in your body can function and help you with everything else. You mentioned earlier about chronic viral issues. One of the ways your body keeps virus silent in the body is with methylation. And so if you're having problems with chronic virus, if you've been diagnosed with having, let's say, mono or other kinds of viruses or chronic low-grade fevers, you might wonder or want to look and say, do I have problems with methylation because I'm not silencing my virus properly? Or if you have some of the other health issues we mentioned, type 2 diabetes, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, problem with blood that's very thick and sticky, if you've been pregnant and have a lot of problems with miscarriages or have had a child with autism or ADD, neural tube defects, Down syndrome, these are some of the things that would point to a fact to say, you know what, maybe I ought to look and see if I have mutations in the methylation pathway. There are a number of different genetic tests you can run. They range from inexpensive saliva-based testing from a company such as 23andMe, or some of the more advanced testing. There's a genetic test I've designed that's a pinprick blood test that you can run through your doctor and have your doctor order it through Doctor's Data, DDI, or order it directly through Holistic Health International, and it's a pinprick test you can do at home. the most sophisticated way to look at your genetics would be a blood draw from your doctor, and that's going to be the most expensive. And so whether you go one extreme, which is a lower cost, possibly less sensitive saliva test, but at least it'll give you basic information, or the other extreme where you get a blood draw from your doctor or something in between like the pinprick blood test that I designed, having that information helps you to know where the accidents are on your highway in life. And one of the examples I give in the book is if you were traveling from California and you wanted to get to my home state of Maine, and you called me up and you said, Amy, how do I get there? And I would say to you, well, where are you? Read me some roadmaps. Like, tell me the sign that you're seeing. If you don't know where the accidents are on the highways, which are your mutations, you don't know what roads you need to avoid. You don't know what road to take. And so the first step would be, if you can, to look at genetic testing so that, like you, Eva, you know where the imbalances are in your methylation cycle. I've put up a site. It's called knowyourgenetics.com. So it's www.knowyourgenetics.com. And you can input the data that you've gotten from any genetic test. It doesn't have to be the one I designed. And you will get information for free about what those various imbalances in your methylation cycle mean. And so there's a tremendous amount of information on knowyourgenetics.com at no cost that you can get that information and have links to a number of other resources that I put online for free. My goal is to educate you and educate your doctor so that you can work with your own doctor to bypass mutations in your body. But part of the problem is that MTHFR, which is one of the mutations you can have in your methylation cycle, has become a buzzword, as Eva just mentioned. But there are the genetic test I designed has 30 different genes or SNPs, mutations, that we look at just in this one pathway. And so if you're only looking at one area where there's a potential issue, you're missing everything else that's going on. And so again, if we think about a roadmap, when you get the traffic report on a highway and you're traveling in a city, they don't just tell you about the accident on the turnpike. They're going to tell you what accidents are on the other supporting roads, because if there's an accident that's blocked off both roads, both lanes of the highway, let's say on Route 95 in Maine, but nobody bothers to tell you that they're doing construction, so the bridge is completely out on Route 1, you're going to move from one accident to the next accident, and you're still going to be stuck and unable to get through where you need to. And in this case, we're talking about a pathway that needs to function in the body. So it's not a matter of just sitting in traffic for hours. It's a matter of being able to get this pathway functioning so that you can lower your risk for the numerous health conditions we've already talked about. And so the idea is to look at not just MTHFR, but where all the accidents are on your highway for methylation, and looking to bypass nutritionally so that this pathway and these traffic circles in your body can function. And if you go to knowyourgenetics.com, on the left-hand side of the page, you'll be able to see that there are links right there for the methylation cycle and the methylation pathway, and you can see some of these pathways and see the list of nutrients to bypass some of the imbalances in nutritional issues that you would have if you had mutations in these pathways. And part of the problem with, for instance, a lot of people believe that if you have the mutation that Eva has, the MTHFR mutation, that the answer is to add high doses of a very specialized type of folate called 5-methyl-THF. And the problem is that if you add high doses of this special form of folate, but you haven't looked at the nutritional status of other intermediates in the body, you could deplete important things in your body like lithium. And one of the very common deficits that I see, especially with adults who have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, as well as younger individuals with autism, is very, very, very low lithium levels. And one of the best things you could do with your own doctor is run a hair metal test or run a blood test and look at your lithium levels if you're not feeling well. Lithium is involved in B12 transport. And once you've bypassed this mutation, this MTHFR mutation that everyone's heard so much about, with this special form of folate, 5-methyl-THF, the next step utilizes B12. But if your lithium levels aren't high enough, your B12 levels may not be high enough. And so now you're stuck again. You can't get through the appropriate traffic circles in your body. But now you've got high doses of a specialized form of folate that your body can't process properly. And so that's just one example of why you want to be looking at the entire pathway to make sure that you have nutritional balance so that you can utilize things that you take, such as 5-methyl-THF. The other thing is that there are certain misconceptions that just using high doses of any form of folate are good. And there's actually peer-reviewed studies showing that, especially in the elderly, where the methylation cycle doesn't function as well as you get older in any event, that high-dose folate may work against you. Because if you do have problems with methylation, or you do have mutations such as the C677T mutation that Eva has, you can't process regular folate to the full extent. And so you want to be looking, in my personal opinion, at lower doses of a number of nutrients to help to support all aspects of the pathway, and checking to be sure what are your cobalt levels as a measure of B12. What does your B12 level look like in the blood? What does your lithium level look like? Can you even handle adding additional B12? As well as looking at levels of iron in the body and some of the other SNPs besides MTHFR. Some of the key ones to be looking at, whether you've run the test I designed or run one of the other tests, is mutations in SHMT. That's a mutation that diverts the intermediates from your methylation cycle that you're adding. It's almost like when you have an exit off a highway that just takes you to a dead-end road. And if you don't have that portion of the pathway balanced properly, everything else that you're adding is just going through this detour to nowhere and piling up in your body. Another mutation to be looking at are some of the CBS mutations. The nutrigenomic test I design looks at CBS mutations that have increased activity. There are other CBS mutations, particularly seen in Alzheimer's, that have decreased activity. But if you have increased activity, the analogy I've often given is, it's like if you think about the methylation cycle as filling up your bathtub with all the good nutrients you need so your methylation cycle can function properly. But you don't know that your bathtub has a leak and can't keep the water in it until you start to support with some of these nutrients. And if you have some of these CBS mutations, it's like having a leaky plug in your bathtub. Everything you add in, all of the lovely supports, all of the 5-methyl-THF and lithium and B12 are going down the drain of CBS if you have certain types of imbalances. And that then puts too much pressure on other systems in your body, the systems that you need to process sulfur groups. And we see a lot of adults who are sulfite sensitive, who have problems with sulfur groups, who have asthma, who have breathing issues, who have a whole host of problems with sulfur groups. those are individuals who you really want to be careful before you support their methylation cycle, that you're keeping the bathtub filled and that everything isn't draining, creating more strain on already excess sulfur groups in that individual's body. And so
I have a question here. A physician actually emailed me, and that was the question she asked. She says, I have patients that I operate on that have toxic mold syndrome from leaky breast implants. And all of a sudden, Eva, they've never been allergic to the sulfur that they knew of. I give them sulfur antibiotics, and they have sulfur reactions. So is that what it is?
It may be. It may be that they're supporting methylation, perhaps, and it's putting extra stress on the enzyme that your body needs to process sulfur. The other option is that in order to process sulfur, it uses molybdenum and B12. If you don't have sufficient molybdenum in your body, that can be a problem with sulfur processing. People who have chronic yeast infections, and it sounds like the population this person wrote about may have issues with chronic yeast, that can deplete molybdenum from your body, because one of the purposes molybdenum serves in the body is related to byproducts of yeast. And again, anytime you think about problems with B12, you want to think about lithium. If people could only run one biochemical test, it would be run a hair metal test and look and make sure you have sufficient lithium in your body before you go to add B12. And I always believe, because lithium and potassium often track together, if you're adding lithium, make sure you're supporting potassium, because some of the muscle issues you talk about are related to problems with potassium. Some of the water retention problems that people have and high blood pressure issues related to salt, if potassium isn't balanced properly in the body. And potassium and rubidium levels are very tied together. And if you've got low lithium and low potassium and low rubidium, that's oftentimes someone who has aggressive tendencies, who has a very short fuse and a very short temper. And we see that a lot in the population that I see tests for. And so when someone's having problems processing sulfur, besides looking at just the sheer amount of sulfur groups and looking to support molybdenum levels, making sure lithium's in balance, making sure that you have some level of B12 in the body, the other thing would be to run something like a urine amino acid test and make sure that taurine levels aren't too high, because really high taurine is one of the symptoms that you're going to see on a biochemical test if somebody's bathtub is leaking. It's another reason why I am not a fan of people using very, very high doses of taurine if they don't know what's going on with the methylation cycle in their body.
That's very interesting. Wow. I could hear you all night long, Amy, I swear. Okay, here's my next question. I do and this is a personal question, and the reason I'm asking this from a personal perspective is because I get a lot of emails. In fact, somebody called me this week, and they said they wanted to ask me about B12, and I said, well, are you getting, do you see a doctor? No. My doctor just told me to take some B12, and so that's all I do is I just do that. And I said, do you have any nerve, numbness or tingling? Yeah, I do. And it's just because I'm getting older. I'm like, no, it's not. You don't need to be doing that if you're getting numbness and tingling. So they stopped the B12, and of course it went away. So here's where I'm going. I do B12 shots. I found that I have to do a shot. I do a half a milliliter about twice a week. That's a lot, And when I do that, I have to add in some folate, or else I get this breathing thing where I feel like I can't breathe, and I bet it's probably some form of, I feel like I'm suffocating. But then when I do the folate, I feel like I get this wadded up feeling in my gut and in my back, and it hurts, and I feel bad. So And I pee out the B12. I can see it in my urine because it's all red. So what is it that I'm doing there? Because I know all these other people must be having a same kind of similar problem. Surely I'm not the only one.
Well, I would actually start before all this for you. And I would look and say, if you think about folate is basically a chain of glutamates strung together. And so that's why step one of the program is get glutamate in balance. Looking at balancing glutamate and GABA so that you're not overexciting your nerves to death, as Dr. Russell Blaylock says, because glutamate can be an excitotoxin. And the types of things that help to keep glutamate in balance are lithium, which I keep coming back to because it's so critical. Zinc will help. Magnesium will help. Keeping calcium lower relative to magnesium. Keeping copper lower relative to zinc. GABA, theanine, pycnogenol, grapeseed extract. There are certain teas, Chinese teas, that will help. All of those things help to keep glutamate in a little better balance. There's a spray I use called BCOM spray. And so the first thing I do is suggest that someone work with their doctor on step one and get glutamate and GABA in better balance so that you have less of a tendency to excite your nerves to death. The next thing I like to do is there's a shortcut through the methylation cycle that doesn't need B12. And so the fastest way to get the cycle moving, where you're not having to worry about some of the things you just talked about, is by supporting the shortcut. And the way I like to support the shortcut is with phospholipids. So a mixture of phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylethanolamine, phosphatidylcholine. And you can buy what's called phosphatidyl complex or phosphatidylserine complex. And I like the mixture. I don't like to use just straight phosphatidylcholine, but there are certain reasons in terms of membrane fluidity and concerns about impacts of too much choline in the body, why I like a mixture. The other thing that helps to feed the shortcut is DHA. And so if you could start out after you've balanced glutamate and GABA and add your phospholipid mix and add some DHA, that would be one way to jumpstart your methylation cycle so that it's moving and your mechanic is moving a little in your body or your editing function is working without having to worry about lithium and B12 and the folate issue you just talked about yet. The other thing is that there's a general vitamin I designed, something I call All-in-One. I actually have to give credit to my youngest daughter for it. She came up with that name. And what that has is a little bit of everything you need to support the methylation cycle. And so if someone can just get started on the shortcut with a phosphatidyl serine complex and some DHA and All-in-One or the equivalent, I always put all of my information out there. The idea is you don't have to use what I use. The information is there so that if you want to find an alternative, go ahead. Just match everything up and make sure you're not adding something that I haven't, because each of those ingredients are very well considered. There are other ways to jumpstart the shortcut that I don't use. Some people use TMG, and I don't do that for reasons that I talk about, on the chat group. It's a little longer explanation. But using the phospholipid complex and DHA and a little bit of All-in-One would be the way to start. Once you get to looking at the long route around the cycle, which is what you're doing with respect to the B12, before you do that, you want to make sure that lithium is in balance. And I know we've run a hair metal test for you, but let me just take a look when that was. Because just because you've run a hair metal test once, if you've been using, that test was back in October, And so if you've been using B12 injections since then, it's time to run another hair metal test and make sure that your lithium isn't too low. If your lithium is too low and you add B12, it may not be transported where you want it transported, and you run the risk of your lithium levels dropping even further. And lithium is important for helping to control that glutamate, as well as a host of other functions in the body. And so if you're having those kinds of reactions from B12 injections, one of the first things I'm thinking is that lithium may not be in balance in your system. The other thing you want to think about is the type of B12 you're using. A common form of B12 is cyano-B12 because it's very stable, and it's very inexpensive. But cyano-B12 is basically cyanide linked to the B12 molecule. You have three other options that don't have cyanide in them in terms of a source of B12. One is methyl B12, so it's that methyl group I keep talking about linked to B12. Another is hydroxy-B12, which is basically like a water molecule linked to B12. And the other is adenosyl-B12, which is kind of like the molecule in ATP for energy linked to B12. My preference for people, if you know all of your nutrigenomics and you know you can handle methyl groups directly, then you could use methyl B12. But my experience has been that most adults have trouble with that because it triggers too much detox. And so what I tend to find is that if people will work with their doctors on hydroxy B12 and a little bit of adenosyl B12, that seems to be tolerated best. And then depending on genetics, you could look at additional methyl B12 later. A secondary problem with cyano B12 is your body needs to get rid of that cyanide molecule once it's used the B12 portion. And the way your body gets rid of cyanide is using up some of your hydroxy B12. And so you run the risk of a net negative if you're using very high dose cyano B12. So it's something to think about. And think about the type of B12 you're using. There's an energy drink, a healthy energy drink that I've been involved in helping to develop called Black Bear. And the website for that is blackbearb12.com. And that drink has molybdenum as well as B12. Part of the idea behind it was to be helpful for people who needed to process some of those sulfur groups. But what the Black Bear has in it also is hydroxy and adenosyl B12. And there's a very nice explanation and description of the varying types of B12 on that Black Bear website. If someone wants to read more about that and to understand more about the various types of B12. In terms of using regular folate, where the mutation is for the C677T that you have in both lanes of your highway, your body is going to have difficulty taking straight up folate and processing it to the molecule, the 5-methyl-THF that you need. But you also have what's called the SHMT mutation, the one that's a detour to nowhere. And so I don't know if part of what's going on when you use straight folate is that you are processing it through the detour to nowhere, which would cause your body to build up potentially higher levels of serine or glycine, and if that isn't part of what's going on. And so, again, to reiterate, what you might want to consider with your doctor is, first of all, get glutamate and GABA in balance so that you're not running into glutamate issues once you start to support the pathway. Second, look at supporting the shortcut first, because that doesn't trigger as much detox, and especially adults tend to have a much easier time supporting the shortcut with the phospho serine complex, and that has other positive benefits in the body. It can help to control excess cortisol for people who exercise all the time, and it seems to have a positive impact in learning and memory and attention, and also using DHA, and that also has a lot of positive benefits in terms of learning and memory. And then the next thing to do would be to rerun your hair metal test, and let's make sure your lithium is in balance, given the really high dose B12 you're using. Look at the form of B12 you're using to make sure it's a form that your body can handle most easily. And also make sure that we're adding supports to balance that SHMT mutation you have so that everything isn't going to a detour to nowhere. And finally, look at using just very low doses of 5-methyl-THF to get the specialized form of folate that bypasses that C677T mutation that you have.
So I just want to ask a question about your phosphatidylcholine combination. That, I think, you know, those things do a lot of things, stabilize membranes, lots of carry-out toxins. What kind of dosage do you recommend for people? Because people need to know somewhere to start. So I think I take a equivalent to a tablespoon 3 times a day because I had that heart attack. But what would the average person take?
I believe in starting low, you can always add more. There are several reasons to start low. One of them is frankly financial, because people are concerned about their health. If you start out feeling like you need to take the maximum dose every day, I find individuals are afraid to dose back because they're afraid they'll start to not feel so good anymore. And then it locks you in financially. Also, if you add too much of anything, your system may react. And so it's always better to start small and go from there. I actually utilize at Holistic Health, we have it's like a gel cap for both the DHA as well as the phosphatidylserine complex. And I'll generally suggest that somebody start with one of each a day. My daughters, all of whom are in their 20s now, but they always felt that the phosphatidylserine complex made a huge difference in terms of learning and memory for them for tests. And so when they were studying for exams, especially in high school, they would often take up to 3 of those in a day. And considering all 3 of them graduated at the very top of their class, I'm not going to argue with going to 3 a day if it makes sense. There is a low dose of all of these compounds that I've mentioned, though, in the all-in-one vitamin. And even though on that one the recommended dose is 4 a day, I don't think there's anything wrong with starting with 1 a day. Or if you're not even comfortable starting with 1, pour out half of a capsule and start with a half a day and gradually work up so that you don't lock yourself into a higher dose than you need and more of a financial commitment than you need and save your finances to get some of the other supplements. I'd rather have people use a small amount of more supplements than a high dose of 1. Because if you look at just even the methylation cycle that I have on that Know Your Genetics page, your body has more biochemical pathways going than the most complicated map of the country. And the body is designed to use small amounts of a lot of different nutrients to function properly. And so I like to work with what the body is used to. So rule of thumb tends to be start with a half to 1 and go up from there as needed. And again, work with your doctor as always. I put everything out there other than the new book, which is not that expensive. Everything else is out there for free. All of this information is accessible to you and your doctor to be able to work with a doctor of your choice on this program.
I just want to say one thing. I have half a case of those all-in-ones, and I've read over your ingredients, and they're the best. And not only that, It's a very reasonably priced product. It really is for what you get.
Thank you. I actually fight with the people that have to that do the pricing because I have nothing to do with it. And I believe everybody should be able to afford a general vitamin that supports their methylation pathway. And that's why it's that product probably should cost about five times what it does.
Mm-hmm. But everybody else does.
I know, but it's this is what I do all day. I'm all about support your methylation cycle. And to me, it's important to stand behind your words and have something that will support that cycle that anybody can afford to do.
Well, it's all the ingredients are the best qualities and the best forms. And it's got everything, I mean, lots and lots of stuff. And it's, I don't remember what it is, but it's something that you can do every month. Anybody could probably afford this supplement. So Amy, we have about 8 minutes or so. Anything else you want to talk about, or you want me to ask you a question? Because I do have several pages of questions, as usual.
I have two other things I'd like to bring up, and I'll do it quickly, and then you can ask more questions.
That's all right. As long as we don't have dead air time, I'm good.
Okay. Again, if people go to the Dr. Amy Yosko Facebook page and scroll down and read some of the articles, because methylation and epigenetics isn't just about physical issues, it's also about emotional and spiritual connections. And so there have been some articles that I've posted that everything from positive affirmations, which I believe in so strongly, and the last chapter of my Feel Good Nutrigenomics book is about spirituality and how it ties directly back to science. But affirmations change your epigenetics. They have an impact on those epigenetic marks. And conversely, in a very sad way, child abuse impacts negatively your epigenetics. And so your memories, your experiences, positive and negative, are imprinted in this epigenetic effect on your DNA, and that's controlled by having your methylation pathway function optimally. So we're not just talking about the impact methylation has on physical ailments. We're also talking about being able to convert positive affirmations and positive experiences in the manner in which you would like epigenetically by having your methylation pathway function optimally. And even though you can change your epigenetics, you also pass this down. And so there are articles, again, referenced on the Facebook page and in the PowerPoints that I've given, where you inherit your epigenetic pattern, what genes are turned on and off in these methyl groups moving around, from your parents, both your parents, not just your mother, but also your father, as well as your grandparents. And so getting this pathway functional doesn't just affect you physically. I feel that it affects you spiritually and emotionally and affects your children and your children's children. And so it ties back to why I think if you can't do anything else for yourself health-wise, if you could just understand methylation, read the Feel Good Nutrigenomics book and take an all-in-one every day so that everybody else that Eva is going to talk to in this series and everything else they're going to help you with builds on having a healthy epigenetic and methylation pathway in your body. And so, that's, I guess those are my words of wisdom, and ask whatever else you have in the remaining time that we've got.
Well, I just want to, everybody talks about methylation, all the doctors now. You know, everybody uses that word, but I don't think they really get it. But I want people to understand it's not just methylation. It can be under-methylating or it can be over-methylating. And when you just talked about what you just got through talking about, I also want people to understand, and tell me if I'm wrong, okay, because I'm just a journalist, but I'm talking about experiences that I've seen in my family. So when you're talking about those emotion things, you're also talking about mood disorders and addictions, alcoholism, drug addictions, depression, suicide. Am I right?
All of that is tied back to the same pathway. And so that's why we actually are seeing more and more adolescents using this program who have bipolar issues and schizophrenia. Individuals who are depressed have been on antidepressants for a really long time. And again, I caution everybody, use the program with your doctor. I don't charge for my time. I donate my time so you can spend your money on a consult with your doctor to help your doctor, have your doctor help you implement the program. Almost all the resources are online for free. The book is, I think it's less than $10 for the ebook online, and most of the DVDs and videos are online for free. I gave a talk to a group of doctors just a week or so ago. That video is online for free. There are some videos we're coming out with that are more professionally done that there'll be nominal fees for. But yes, again, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, this lays the foundation and groundwork for the rest of your health, for the rest of your life.
Thank you, Dr. Amy. You're the best. One more time, your website?
There's a couple of websites. A lot of what I talked about is on the www.holistichealed.com site. You could also go to Dr. Amy Yosko on Facebook. You have free resources at www.knowyourgenetics.com. And if you can get that far, you'll be able to get to everything else.
Thank you, Dr. Yosko. You are fabulous. Thank you for taking
Thank
time.
Thank you, Eva.
For me
I send you a hug. Be healthy and well.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.